Today I want to bring you a message that you might just be in need of. I think every one of us can raise our hands this morning because as we're on a journey with God, and we all are, whether we've been saved for 25 years or yesterday, we are beginning a journey, and the journey never ends. Amen? I mean, it's a day-to-day process with God, and I love that. But I believe this message that I'm about to bring this morning can affect every single one of us. I know it has. It won't just affect your past or where you're at, but it will affect your future too. Because in life, there's situations that we go through. Amen. I mean, just because we know God, we've accepted Christ, that doesn't mean we don't have situations that happen in our life. But I want this message this morning to position you to land on your feet, because some of you are not on your feet. Some of you have been shaken in trials and tribulations and circumstances of stuff in your walk, like a lot of us. And I want this to be a turnaround. You know, I think about the word, and it says, for such a time as this. Think about that. For such a time as this, that Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the enemy. Hallelujah. And you know what? When you're in the fold of Jesus Christ, listen, God, Jesus never changes. And what I mean by that is, listen, He came for such a time as this, but it was 2,000 years ago. And listen, the battle's been won through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, Jesus never has quit. He did it then for such a time as this. He died on the cross, but guess what else? He sits at the right hand of the Father right now, the Bible says, making intercession for you and me. So when we think about for such a time as this, you are not alone. And as that song came out this morning, the prophetic song, the word of the Lord, that says, I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. I'm with you. You know, that just blessed my heart. So listen to the music that we sing, because sometimes it's a strong word. Rather than stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, the prophetic word, it comes through music. And that's what happens when you have a psalmist in the house. You know, and we do. And now that prophetic sound is coming out, and I just love that. But how many want that in your life? You know, to know that God is for you. I love it. So my message today is called Removing Self-Doubt. Did you know self-doubt is an enemy to your destiny? No, it really is. Your destiny with doubt is null and void. Because what you don't believe and take a stand in, you're going to let go of. Can you say amen? Self-doubt is this. But listen to this, a couple of quotes I wrote down. This is an author that's unknown, but this is such a good one. It says, it's not who you are that holds you back. It's who you think you're not. And doesn't that just line up with Proverbs that says, as a man thinks, so is he, or a woman? What are you thinking today? What is overcharging your mind and your heart today? Is it the good things? Are you nurturing your thoughts from the good tree or the bad tree of life? Because Jesus came and He said, the trees look alike, but He hewed down the one because it didn't produce fruit. So, you know, anything that's in our life that doesn't produce the fruit that we're supposed to have, God wants it hewed down. And we have to do that. And that's why this message is so important, about you knowing who you are, your destiny, your focus, and for you to move on. Listen to this next one. It says, we have to learn to be our own best friends because we fall too easily into the trap of being our worst enemies. Is that not the truth? I mean, honest to God, you know, they say it's the world, the devil, and ourselves, and that is true. But I have found we give way too much credit to the devil. Come on, we just give way too much, oh, the devil does this, and the devil comes to rob and steal, and he does. But when we give credence to what the devil does, and it overshadows the power of God in our life, what has happened is, listen, then you're laying your life down for the enemy rather than for God, because you're listening to the wrong voice. Can you say amen? You're falling into the trap for you to be your worst enemy. But when you know who you are in Christ, you become your best friend, because you're with you all the time, so you better love yourself. Sometimes I don't love myself. Sometimes I don't even like myself. You know, really. It's true. Sometimes my disposition needs a good whipping. But the truth of the matter is that I got to love myself. And listen to this last one. It's cute. It's by W.C. Fields. And it says this. It ain't what they call you. It's what you answer to. Come on, that may not be scriptural, and it may not be Smith Wigglesworth, but that's good stuff. What are you answering to today? You know, you're going to play your own tune and dance to your own fiddle. I hope it's going to be good. That's all I can say to you. Amen. Let's look at this word destiny. I looked it up and it means this. It means fate, fortune, providence, vocation, and future. And when I thought of that word, I immediately, in my heart, I was going over my lesson this morning, and this is not supernatural. It was just a thought, whether it be my own or God. And it made me think of a woman that is pregnant. And the first thing that's formed in that woman is her heart. I mean, and that baby is the heart is being formed in the womb. But the second thing that takes place is the umbilical cord. And when you think about an umbilical cord, how important that is in a natural birth. Because without that connection, listen, you won't be fed. That baby will die. It will abort itself. But every nutrient that comes through the umbilical cord of your body to your child's body is being fed and nurtured. And what you put in your body goes into your child. Amen? I mean, that's just biological stuff. And that's the same way it is to your destiny. When you get born again, there's that born again. When you get born into the spiritual realm, there's a natural birth, there's a spiritual birth. What takes place is your soul, your heart gets redeemed, right? You first thing that takes place is your body, your spirit man gets born again. Then what takes place, that connection, is that spiritual umbilical cord that you're being fed through. Now that cord represents your destiny. And if you're not getting the proper nutrition through that cord, the spiritual lining, what's connected between you and God, your Savior this morning, and it gets blocked up by your own self-doubt, your own worries and insecurities and fears, listen to me. It's like wrapping the cord around a child's neck and it cuts everything off. Some of you've got the cords wrapped around your necks and you're not being fed what you need to be fed. But the thing is, you're your worst enemy and you've caused that situation. Now, I'm not saying you've got a curse on your life. I'm just saying because you don't know what God has already done for you. See, God has already redeemed you. Say, I'm redeemed. You see, we live in the favor of God. And when you don't know that and you walk in self-doubt and you don't know what Jesus did or you're not applying what He did, it don't change what He did. Jesus is who He is. But when you don't absorb what God has given to you through the benefits, because He loads us down daily with His benefits, what is happening is you become strangulated, don't you? So when you think about your destiny, what is that? Fate, fortune, providence, vocation, future. You have a future in God. If you stay with that being fed, let the line flow freely and let the doubt stop. Say amen. Doubt just means this: hesitation, reservation, misgiving, distrust, disbelief, suspicion. That started in the Garden of Eden. Questioning. Well, who does that? Anytime you're faced with adversity, and we all are, I'm telling you, the first thing we go through mentally is shock. I mean, sometimes when things have hit me that way, I've shared this before, it's like this electrical thing goes through me. It's like Crystal Delco speaking on nurse stuff. I don't like it. When she talks about open cuts and what's happening, and I'm like, oh, it's just like this feeling goes through me. It just does. I don't like it. But that's what shock does to your physical body. Shock will do that. So that's why we cannot hesitate. Say that. I can't hesitate on the things of God. You can't be suspicious of your Father. He's the Redeemer of your life. So what's the solution? I think it's pretty basic. You got to combat doubt. You got to combat it. And the only way you can neutralize fear, neutralize doubt, hesitation, all the things that come with it, is the same way Jesus did. Are you any better than Jesus? No. Is Jesus not our example? What did He say to the enemy? He said, "It is written." He neutralized the power of Satan. See, if you want neutralization in your life and you want to see the enemy really defeated, don't go at him in a personal combat. Use God's authority word that He's given to you and watch the doubt, the fear, the insecurity, the nervousness just begin to diminish in your world, because it will set you free. You see, the Bible says that it's the Word of God that sets us free. We're on a more sure foundation this morning, brothers and sisters. We don't walk, we are not of our own, amen? Now watch this. By having confidence in God's Word, that's the authority over adversity. Now watch this. When you trust God, when you trust Him, is He not the God of the breakthrough already? All right, because we know we're here in the New Testament. We live in the God. He's already in the now. He's the God of the breakthrough. But look what breakthrough says here. When you trust God, watch this. When you trust God, you're putting, like when you wake up in the morning and you're born again. I don't wake up in the morning every single morning and say, I don't trust you to go to heaven. Do you know what I'm saying? That's my example. Every day wake up, am I saved? Am I saved? Am I saved? Am I saved? I already know that I'm saved because I accepted Jesus Christ in 1975. Amen? That's my security blanket. I like that. But if you want breakthrough in your life and you want breakthrough to come, you're going to have to know who you are. And that's why Bishop's teaching on the identity, the mind, and I love that he stole mine because I love to speak on the mind. But listen to what breakthrough is. It means basically this. Penetrate and pierce. And found in 2 Samuel 5:17, listen to this. Now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed King David over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. And David heard it and went down to the stronghold. I circled that and I wrote a little something by it and it just struck me. He went down to the stronghold. He did not run from adversity. He ran towards it, knowing that he was going to seek God. And if God be for him, who can be against him? God is for you this morning. Now watch this in verse 18. And the Philistines also went down and deployed themselves in the valley of Rehob. 19 says, so David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against these Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtlessly deliver you. I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. Now watch what verse 20 says. So David went to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, watch this. The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water. Therefore he called the place Baal Perazim. He is God of the breakthrough. Now listen to me. If God, that was Old Testament stuff. If God was the Lord of the breakthrough for David, how much is He the breakthrough for you and for me today? Some of us need breakthrough today, not because the provision's not been made. It's because we've not taken ownership and identified what God has done in our life. And we need to set ourselves straight, get back up on our feet, and say, you, God, are God of the breakthrough. I love it, and I quoted this, I think it was at the ladies' ministry, or one time, I don't remember, but Smith Wigglesworth said, if God's word says it, I believe it. It's settled. I don't have to go pray and wonder why, and time limits, and put restrictions on whys. He said, if it's there, I believe. This was a man of God that never even picked up a newspaper in his life. I'm not saying it's wrong to read a newspaper. I'm just saying he did not want to tamper with the anointing that he was experiencing. This man raised the dead, healed the sick. I'm talking about people dead a week. Throw them up in there and be healed in the name of Jesus. A woman brought a dead child, purple. He took that baby. This is what the book says. This is just history talking about what he did. He took the baby, threw it up in the air, and drop kicked it. And said, be healed in the name of Jesus. And that baby came down healed with a spirit back in him. He's the God of the breakthrough. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I love that. David don't have a corner on faith. He just inquired of his father. God says, I'm going to be there. I'm the God of the... That's why it's important, listen to me, it's very important to trust God. Look what this overused, wonderful scripture is. I love it. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all of your mind. That's translated mind. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Can you see that's why when you trust in God and you put your hope in God, how that takes you out of the equation to the problem? And you can just say this, you know, I've said this a lot. You're only a steward. I am only a steward. But you know what? You use that a lot of times in the analogy of being a steward over the good stuff. Oh, I'm a steward over my kids, or I'm a steward over my finances. But you know what? We're also a steward over the negative things in our life. We're also a steward. So if you, listen to me, if you can't take the glory in the negative, don't take the glory in the positive. Just be a steward. God wants us to be just a steward. And when we can be a steward and not take ownership of the problems of our life and give them back to God, that steps us out of the equation. But if you keep wanting to be on the top of the pile, then it's going to be yours. Personally, I don't want them, right? It's easier to give them back to God. So let's look at three things I want you to see this morning. Number one, God has a plan for you. Look at your neighbor and says, God has a plan for me. Exodus 33:17 says this. So the Lord said to Moses, I love this, watch this. I will also go to do this thing that you have spoken. Now watch this. I'm going to do this thing, God, that you have spoken. For you have found grace in my sight. Now this is the Lord saying this to Moses. You, Moses, have found grace in my sight. Come on. We're going to find grace in the sight of God. I love that. And then he says this. And I know you by name. Listen to me. The name of Jesus is above every name. In heaven and earth, underneath the earth. Today we have great opposition in our country. You can't use the name of Jesus. People stink and come unglued. But I love the word when it says this, where grace abounds, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. The name of Jesus is offensive because it's so powerful. You can talk on any subject you want. I mean, the atheist and the New Age people are going crazy. They don't even know what's stirring up the hornet's nest inside of them. They're so motivated by the power of the enemy because they're not born again that they can't even sleep at night thinking how they can defuse the name of Jesus. Well, I'm telling you here, Jesus' name is the name above every name. It's the name of Jesus that's coming back to His church. And He's not coming back to a weak church. He's coming back to a powerful church. Can you say amen? I love that. Now listen to what 2 Chronicles 16:9 says. For the eyes of the Lord, come on, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. Didn't say through part of it. Didn't say through Kentucky. Didn't say through Canada, the Caribbean. It says the Lord's eyes run to and fro throughout the world. He's looking and He's watching and He's saying, come on, church. I'm going to raise up a glorious church in the last hour that loves me, that's going to say, you know, get fire shut up in my bones. I'm ready to do something for God. Hallelujah. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Hallelujah. I love that. He says, now watch this. The Lord is running to and fro throughout the whole earth. Watch this. This is the key thing. To show Himself strong. He wants to show Himself strong. Now listen, how do you think He's running to and fro in this earth? You see Him? Yeah, you do. Look at your neighbor. Hoo-hoo! You are His feet. You are His hands. I know that was a trick question. I almost felt like Bishop there for a minute. He says something, I go, mum's the word, you know. He tricks me all the time, and, you know, I'm supposed to be smarter than that. But he says to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is turned to them, to him, I mean. In Ephesians, it says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You're on an assignment, family. God has something special for somebody special called you. Isn't that exciting? You're not just a lone stranger ranger, just making it through a journey today. You're on assignment from God. God has something so special designed. Because you know what I have found in life is that every child's DNA to God is a fingerprint. Your heart is a personal fingerprint, a personal DNA to the Father. Isn't that exciting? That there's no one like you, but yet your self-doubts about how you feel and your insecurities and your fears and your worries and things of life that try to put a damper on what you already are in Christ Jesus. So you can't make yourself somebody in Christ Jesus. You already are. The Bible tells me you are, I am, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells me, listen to me, that we are not of our own. The Bible tells me, He calls me beloved. You are my beloved church. He's calling you the beloved. He sees you the way you're supposed to see you, but you don't see yourself that way. You forgot. I'm here to remind you. Woohoo! Number two, changing my thoughts will change my actions. Need I say more? As a man or woman thinks in his heart, so is he. The great late Charles Finney, my favorite guy from the 1800s. Wow, you wouldn't want to live. You wouldn't want to be in the same room with Charles Finney. You know, listen. You just won't. This guy was so powerful. He would have revivals back in what's called in the Dark Ages, and people would come in, visitors from all over. They had to travel by horse and buggy, as you know, being that the towns were so far away. And people would come in, and he'd have revival. You think Billy Graham had a strong anointing? Charles Finney had such a strong anointing that the very floors would open up spiritually, and people would look down and see people screaming in the portals of hell. That's written in history. People ran out of the building. They jumped on their horses and said, bye-bye. Only the strong survived, buddy. I think I'd have been on that horse. I'd have been a leader of the pack. Come on. Giddy up. You know, I mean, think about it. That's tough stuff. But listen to what he says. The great late Charles Finney quotes, "Negative thoughts are the enemies of victorious life." And you know, we think about that word victorious. Now, when I think of a word, it always makes me want to think of it a little deeper. Listen to what this word says. The breakdown of this powerful word is this: winning. Victorious means winning, triumphant, champion, prize winning, successful. And the last word I love so much is called conquering. Because the Bible says you're more than a conqueror. You know what? You are hurting yourself. You're binding yourself up this morning when you do not know who you are in Jesus Christ. You are more than a conqueror. Jesus didn't say, if you do this, if you do that. Just as when you're born again, you're more than a conqueror. When I married my husband, I became a wife. Period. It's not because I did this, 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 and this. Well, if I cook, that's going to make me a wife. If I have a child, that's going to make me a wife and a mother. If I do this, that's going to make me somebody I already am. When I said I do, I was a wife. You were a husband. You were a wife. When you became a mother, it's the same thing. You can't make yourself be something you already am. You're more than a conqueror because you have Christ living in you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't you love that? Number three, take on the mind of Christ, or better yet, We have the mind of Christ. Let me say that. Paul tells us here in Philippians, listen to this. We have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you. It didn't mean that you have to pray it to come in. It means take notice. Let it appear. Let yourself know that you have the mind of Christ. And he says this, which is also in Christ Jesus. When you marry a person, because the Bible says you are one flesh. When you marry God through salvation, you are one flesh. That's called the covenant. The blood solidified that. So today, when you think, I'm just going to pray to have the mind of Christ. No, it's already there. Now you're going to have to open up the portals of your mind to know who you are. You got to work on you. You're your worst enemy. Amen? I love that. Now watch this. This is going to be good for the control freaks. The scripture shows that the only thing you can control in life is your mind. Woohoo! Now that's good news. So if you want to be a control freak, start there. Yeah? Come on, control freaks. I didn't get a big enough amen. But anyway, the scripture continues by saying this. Setting your mind is only a task. Thus, let us labor, therefore, to enter into the rest, okay, R-E-S-T, by setting our minds on who are in Him. You have to be at rest. Knowing, that means, I didn't look up that word, but I'm going to translate it myself, in assurance. That you have to be at a place where you know in your knower that you have the mind of Christ and that you can do all things through Jesus Christ. Amen? Now quickly here, I'm just going to go through this quickly. A, self-doubt undermines your spiritual rewards in life. Listen, God opens doors in our world, does He not? There's open and closed doors, but doesn't it take us to go through one? Listen, so when you undermine who you are and the spirit that lives on the inside of you, you are depriving yourself of all the good things to the next step, the next channel in life. Because every step is important in our world. It's step by step. The Bible talks about faith upon faith, precept upon precept. We need to walk in that. That journey is there for us. B, self-doubt is constantly questioning yourself and feeling guilty and unsure about your life. How many, not by a show of hands, can say this morning? Because we've all done it. Every one of us, me included. You're somewhere, and somebody always looks just a little bit more spiritual than you. Amen? I'm not up here by myself, am I? So what happens with self-doubt, and you're motivated by sight, and you think what you want to think about everybody else, but you don't know really, you can't identify where you are, then that's exactly what happens. You begin to feel guilty. You feel condemned. And what does that do? Really, that translates this. If I just read a little more. If I just pray a little more. If I just sing to Jesus just a little bit more. You know, Jesus, you say jump and I'll say how high. That's not the way kingdom principles work. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in Him shall not die, but have eternal life. God says, if I be for you, who be against you? God is not against us this morning. He is for us. So when the guilt and the unsurety comes because you feel the way you feel in your emotions, that's the trick of the devil. See that? He's a trickster. He's an ancient foe, people. You're never going to one-up him. He's been around too long. He knows how to play the game. He's streetwise. He's from the hood. He's carted around the fruit jugs. You know what I mean? It'd be like me being thrust in that situation. Like, oh, Jesus, you know, cutting my nails shorter than they are. I mean, I'm not equipped for that. I'm not. But some of you are. You know, that calling's on the inside of you to do that. Been there, did that, so on. Okay, C. When you doubt yourself, you are never content of where you are. Either you believe this or you don't. The Bible says this, that the footsteps of a righteous man or woman of God are ordered of God. Listen, it may be Ecclesiastics and it may be Old Testament, but it's the truth because God's Word never changes. It says there's a time and a season. There's a time and a season. And sometimes we just want to hurry up the process, and I'm right up the starting gate with you. I mean, I really am. I'm ready to giddy up, you know. I'm ready to do it. But you got to be content where you are. Because in that our place that feels entrapment sometimes, is exactly where God wants you. I have found the will of God to be so amazing in my world. Being at the right place at the right time, for good and not evil, is the heartbeat of God. Again, who's our worst enemy? Me. Because I live in a fast food generation and I want it now, buddy. Hey, I not only took on my pig nature, but I have to deal with Bishop's impatience too. So I'm going to pass it right back to him. But it's the truth, right? We got to appreciate where we are now. For the next season of our life. Because things come in seasonal packages. So enjoy it. You know, I look back when I was in high school and all I wanted to do is get out, get out, get out. I had nightmares for like 10 years after I was out of school. Get out, get out, get out. And now I look back and say, why? why didn't I enjoy that season? Why didn't I learn more? Why didn't I take a course in this? What was the matter with me? Well, basically, I was immature. I was immature, and that maturity said, get out. Because that's what I didn't want to study. I didn't want to do those things. I didn't. Anybody really? I mean, some people are, no, really, there are some people that are perpetual studiers. That's my sister, you know, 9,000 years old and still studying. I mean, she's a whiz of study. Shh. We will not send this tape. I won't tell you where she lives. Hey, that's a blackmail statement. D. Self-doubt is a demonic attack against your self-worth, your self-esteem, and your confidence. Listen, I'm just going to use this for an example. You can take the most beautiful woman on a runway, 19 and striking, drop dead, as they would say, gorgeous. And you're going to walk away and you talk to that girl privately. And you know what she's going to do? She's full of doubt. She's full of insecurity. She probably has more fears than normal. She sees herself and she doesn't view herself of who she is. Everybody else, every other woman is hating her and every other guy's turning their head, but that don't matter. It don't matter because it's a perception, see? You know? So anyway, so you got to be happy with your self-worth and your self-esteem. E, never learning how to appreciate who you are. You're always looking, like I said, to and fro at somebody's better than you. You, listen, every one of us in this room, there's not one that's better than another. We are all created equal. You know, Abraham Lincoln, I'm sorry to tell you guys, did not coin that phrase. He might have said it, but God said it first. God created us equal when He sent Jesus Christ. Amen? F, self-doubt causes you to be double-minded. Listen to this. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Say unstable. This means this, not fixed, insecure, and imbalanced. I'm going to share a story with you because this is a true story. I have a mirror in my bathroom. It's one of those 10 by 10 mirrors, not 10 by size, but 10 magnifying. Ladies, don't ever own one. Listen, I don't even want to see myself that close in a 1 by 1. But this was a very expensive mirror. You know, I want dim lightings, candlelight. I get ready in the morning by candlelight. I look so good. But I have this mirror, and I paid like $60, and that to me was a lot of money. But what happened is, about 6 months ago, I dropped it. It didn't shatter, but it broke. Now, I want you to see something. Every morning, I get up, and I look in that mirror. Every single morning, it's got that crack. Now, when I look into that mirror, I see the truth. The truth is, I'm Gloria Pruitt looking in this mirror. But the crack, the dividing line, now watch this, the divide in that line distorts my perception of who I am. So I find myself leaning to the right, and then I lean a little bit, and if I get right down the middle, I actually look good. But but I'm leaning, and I'm trying to find, because when you're putting on your makeup and things look like you're in one of the carnival storeroom mirrors, you're not seeing yourself. Listen to me. When you are a double-minded person, every day in your mind, you have a divided crack and you're looking into a mirror. You're looking into the truth because the truth is what sets us free. See, God's word is true. Can you attest to that? The truth is, God, who God sets free, is free indeed. You are overcomers. The Bible calls you a hupercanero. That means you're a greater conqueror. But every time you see the word, you have a crack in your mirror. And God is trying to reveal a truth to you that you see, but you can't apply it because you're either on one side or another. And it's very hard to find that focus. And if you do, it's not going to be for very long. So God wants you to fixate this morning. Listen to me. Not on the cracks in your life, but on who you are. Because the truth is, that God has already done this for you and for me. So your perception, you got to get back on the right road. Can you say amen? 1 John 3:23 says this, and this is His commandment, that we should believe on His name of the Son of Jesus Christ and the love of one another. He gave us a commandment. Watch. Without confidence, it's hard to see God's power and results that are a reality in your life, just exactly like that mirror story. That's exactly it. Now, in 1 John 5:14, it says this. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask, that means pray, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. God is not deaf, family. You know, Bishop's grandma, years ago, she went to a prayer meeting. Some woman was praying and screaming and jumping and dancing. And I'll never forget this story. And she walked over and she said, listen, my God ain't deaf. You just be quiet. Oh, that was a good Christian heart. She forgot that the Bible says jump and clap your hands and shout unto God at the voice of God. But she said, my God ain't deaf. Well, your God's not deaf. Amen? And He hears you. But it's got to be what? According to His will. Now, I can get up in the morning and say, I'm 25 and I'm never going to die. But I'm not. That's not going to happen. Because that's not going to happen. Not going to happen to you either. 1 John says, whatever you speak according to His will, He listens. God is always listening. Now, watch this. You cannot be a man and a woman that's true to yourself and have doubt. You can't do it. I love it. Number one, look at what God's already done. I think I talked about this yesterday. You know, life with the Word of God, I don't know if this is soluble or insoluble. I can't remember, or if it's either. Somebody help me out. But vitamin C, when you take it, you have to take it every day. It's not something that stays in your system. Like, you can take certain vitamins and it actually just stays there for a long time. Well, in life's journey, when you're trusting and believing on God, it's got to be that vitamin C source every single day of your life. And God's Word is something that, it does stay in there, but I have found in time of crisis that is like, where is it? I mean, you have to actually search for that. But when you're getting the daily dose of what God wants for you on a day-to-day basis, listen, He will replenish you. He's going to replenish you, but you've got to hear the Word and do it. Look at what God's already done. Everyone, I spoke this yesterday, in this room, God has done something magnificent for you. At one time or another, how minute you may think, how huge may be mountaintop experience, no matter, there's no measurable thing in this room today. God has done something for every one of us. What you've got to do is focus on the positive rather than the negative. And know that your confidence is that God is going to come through for you. Also, you have to be confident that He's able. Say He's able. Number two, you develop confidence in God by spending time with Him. I think I said that. This is an important thing. Build confidence in God, not by second-guessing yourself. Listen to this quote. It's by Vincent Lombardi. He says, I love this. Confidence is contagious. Okay? Watch this. So is lack of confidence. Come on, you want to ignite your family? Be positive. Because when you're negative, your husband or your wife is going to be negative, and your kids are going to be negative, and the dog is going to be negative. Everybody's going to be negative. You know, when I think about Peter, when he cried out to God, remember when Jesus walked on the water, and Peter really wanted to have that experience with God, and something leaped inside of his spirit man, and he called out to God to call on Him. He actually requested that God do something great for him. And Jesus said, you know, it was a revelation, because I could get up and walk on the water, I'm gonna drown, buddy. But when God gives you a revelation of something, He called out unto God, and God said, this is part of my plan for you. That's why everybody's so unique and different. And Jesus, He says, I want call me, Jesus, to come to you. And Jesus says, come. And Peter got out of that boat. And he began to walk on the water. And you know, people can say all the doubt and unbelief, and I'm going to say it too this morning. But the truth of the matter is this. That brother got out of the boat and walked. Fact is fact. I mean, honestly, you can't change the fact. How many of us has walked on the water? None. I don't think. Ooh, don't come to me with it. Go see Pastor Barb. She'll set you straight. But Peter asked and said, come on, you know, ask me. And Peter, we said, the Bible says that Peter believed and he walked. With this invitation, watch, full confidence bloomed. Now watch this. But when he saw the circumstances, listen, you and you and you and me, we all start at the starting gate. We hear a word like this, and man, we're ready to go. You know, we are ready. We're like a bull charging a red thing. Towel. What is it? A tape.
Oh, it could be a towel. I heard a funny little story, and I got just a minute to tell you because it is cute because I'm coming to the end anyway. Years ago when we moved out here, this is so funny, we went down to Tucson. This is totally off the record. We went down to Tucson, and they had a big, Crystal was with us. They had a big show down in Tucson. Advertisement cost us, you know, some bucks to get in there. And so we were excited. We're going to see an old cowboy tombstone, real deal thing. So we go in this theater, and it's got the beautiful red, you know, you pull back the red, you know, the red velvet curtain. So we're sitting there. Yay! Well, the guy comes in. This is like a joke what happened. He says, oh, you guys, can you move to the back row? Oh, okay, we don't want you too close to say. Oh, well, with all that shooting going on, well, yeah, we better fire and cowboys and Indians and maybe a loose, you know, thing. Arrow, thank you. Thank you, Arrow Carol. Maybe a little loose arrow. So we did. So listen, they pull the curtain back. When I was thinking of the bull, you know, being so ferocious, they pull the curtain back, and there was this box, probably about 8 foot by 8 foot by 2 foot, and we can't see what's in it. So we moved up to the front against what he said, and they had little cowboys and Indians and horses on a little track, little metal things, and they had little thing would go bang, made a sound, and the little bang thing would come out of the gun, and the little cowboy would fall off his horse. I thought, this is $30. This must be Canada camera, you know? That was wrong perception, you know? But anyhow, okay, I told you I got off track. That's a blonde thing. But when he saw the circumstances, there's where I'm going. When he saw the circumstances, like all of us, he began to have self-doubt. And that's what this whole message is about this morning. About you not believing where God, not having confidence of where you are at this pivotal time in your life. And it makes you lose hope. Makes you fear, and it makes you feel insecure, you know? And we all go through that, right? And so what happens is, don't look at your circumstances that's around you. Just know that you're as for such a time as this. That is the good news. That is really good news. However, now watch this. Jesus saved Peter. Isn't that just like our Lord? He said, okay, so you blew it. You walked on water. Come on, we're going to get you up here again. In conclusion, breakthrough comes from the Word of God. Quickly. Number one, do not doubt your desires and dreams. Number two, do not doubt your anointing. Number three, do not doubt your vision. Good news is God has equipped you, and the Bible says this, to hold fast your confidence in Him. Let your mouth open up and let the oracles of God come out. Speak what God's Word has said. And I'm going to end with this. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this, casting down arguments. Your mind, saints, is the battleground. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge or the truth of God. And what it says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You want to get rid of self-doubt? You want to be free from all the fears, all the negative things that goes through your heart and mind? You're going to have to begin to cast out the lies of the devil. And not by going personal combat with the devil, but doing what Jesus did, because He's our example. Fighting back with the Word of God. Say, I'm going to fight back with the Word of God. Say it like you mean it. I'm going to fight back with the Word of God for such a time as this, because you're not powerful because of you. You can do nothing, the Bible says, on your own. But you're powerful because of who you are in Christ. Jesus says you can do all things through Christ who gives you that strength. That word translates courage, hope, identity. Hallelujah. Woo! It's because He loves you. You're His beloved. Amen? Let's give Jesus some glory. Can you give Him a shout? Hallelujah! Come on, church. I want to talk to you about one more thing on salvation. Because salvation is the most important thing that we can take, that can take place in our whole world. It's not your firstborn child that's the greatest. It's your being firstborn. Because Jesus Christ was the firstborn among men. The Bible says, listen to me, the Bible says that Jesus
so loved the world that he died. You know, Jesus satisfied God's judgment on the cross. He died to satisfy the judgment against me and you. Today, you're not here by accident. You're here because God summoned you here for such a time as this. If you believe that you picked this place today, at this time, this hour, at 949 East Bell, you're mistaken. But God has a plan for such a time as this, and that's for you to hear the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God for such a time as this. So I'm going to pray with you today. I'm going to pray a prayer that I prayed in 1975, and I gave my heart to Christ. And you know, when Jesus died on the cross for your sin, listen to me, it wasn't because he wanted you to give your money, although that's good. We do that because it's right. But it has nothing to do with salvation. The only thing free in life is his wonderful grace and salvation. So bow your heads. And I want you to say it so loud for 2010 that the devils tremble. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, today, on this Sunday, I give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, forgive me for rejecting you. Cleanse me of my sin. I believe that on the third day, you rose again and you took yourself to hell that I may be redeemed. I believe today, Jesus, that you are ownership of my life. I believe today, Lord, that my sin is scattered from the east to the west. I receive you into myself today. I want you to stand to your feet all over this place. And if you said that prayer, the Bible says right now your name is being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Come on. In the Lamb's Book of Life. Woo! I'm so glad my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that he took my sin nature and took his stripes on his back that I might have life, eternal life. If you said that prayer today, over here, over here, over here, I want to see some hands waving for Jesus. Come on, somebody accepted you. There's a hand over there. How about over here? Come on over here. Come on, don't be afraid. Lift up your hand. We all give a heart to Jesus. You know Jesus? Raise up your hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How many is going to say, you know what, I'm not going to be a sissy baby? I'm not going to be a sissy baby. Men, I'm not going to be a sissy baby. I'm going to raise my hand and declare, I accepted Jesus Christ. Come on, if that's you today, don't be ashamed. Let me see a hand. Come on, men. Let me see a hand. Come on, somebody be first. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're going to open up our altar for prayer. Some hands have went up over here. I want our pastors and elders to come forward. And if you said that prayer and you meant it, and you've given your heart to Jesus, I want you to come up because we have a Bible for you. We want to just love on you and tell you how much Jesus loves you.